Murray K. Hill, Edison Rancor.
Among many other things, we're describing an exhibit worthy of remembering. Quiet down! Sorry, that's my corn dogs barking.
And we're returning to early recordings, a bargain basement fire sale of early recordings
that are shocking by today's standards because we didn't quite exhaust the supply and offend you as badly as we could last time. And those recordings, again, make this episode rated R. Or maybe even X.
What's Chimrex? Would you believe a movie audience guide presented as a public service by this theater's management to help you select your motion picture entertainment? Well, that's what it is. And we urge you to learn these rating symbols and use them as a guide for you and your family. G means suggested for general audiences, all ages. M, suggested for mature audiences, parental discretion advised. R, restricted, persons under 16 not admitted unless accompanied by parent or adult guardian. X, persons under 16 will not be admitted. This seal in advertising indicates that the film was approved under the Motion Picture Code of Self-Regulation.
Ballycast presents news and interviews with performers and showmen. Some important words of warning. This podcast is not family friendly. I'm not even thinking about it, so listen at your own risk. The performances and stunts described are not safe, even for experienced performers. Never attempt them without the direct supervision of someone who already performs them. Please use your common sense, and if you don't have any, stop listening now.
Welcome to Ballycast, episode 176, brought to you free by Blue Ridge Entertainment for showmen, performers, and fans of the sideshow, carnival, and variety arts.
I'm your host, Wayne Kaiser.
The feature segment of today's show, a few things more about recordings that for some ungodly reason used to be popular. The sounds you could buy and hear in your home, and even today, some of us, I'm looking at you, Florida, are still refusing to admit these even exist.
I say segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever.
Also news, a favorite carnival food recipe, and much more. It's Ballycast.
Here we go. Keep your hands and arms inside the car and remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop.
Oh, wait a minute. Translate that into English, will you?
We've discussed Coney Island and its Luna Park several times, but here's a word about Luna Luna, Forgotten Fantasy, an experience you can find in Los Angeles through May the 12th. Luna Luna began as an open-air amusement park in Hamburg, Germany, the concept of Austrian artist André Heller, who asked some of the most notable artists of the 20th century to design their individual concepts for an amusement park, artists including Jean-Michel Basquiat, Salvador Dali, Keith Haring, David Hockney, and numerous others. The artist saw this as an incredible canvas to reach a wider audience. It ran for just 7 weeks in 1987, and during that short time, about 300,000 people visited. Life magazine described it as the most dizzying, dazzling art show on earth. After its initial short run, it was set to travel to San Diego, but Heller disagreed with the plans for its American launch. The whole affair became entangled in litigation, and instead of heading for an extended world tour, the entire exhibit was packed into 44 shipping containers, stored away and forgotten on a desert ranch in Texas for almost 40 years. In 2022, Luna Luna was revived by Canadian rapper and art enthusiast Drake, who bought the shipping containers sight unseen. The works had to be dragged piece by piece out of the containers, reassembled without any instructions, and carefully restored. The whole thing is, at heart, real fun and even a bit naughty. Each exhibit has its own individual music. You're hearing some of it now. Philip Glass music wafts through the large, all-weather warehouse space. Inside a brightly painted David Hockney pavilion, the Berlin Philharmonic plays a Strauss waltz. A Miles Davis song comes from a Ferris wheel covered in designs by Jean-Michel Basquiat. Each piece is too valuable to ride, but guests with what they call a moon pass can enter two immersive pavilions by Hockney and Dali,
and, if they wish, get married to anyone or anything at Andre Heller's wedding chapel.
That $65 ticket includes access inside the Dali Dome and the Hockney Enchanted Tree.
The Liechtenstein Luna Luna Pavilion and Glass Maze.
And there's even a gift shop where you can get a sweatshirt for a bargain $500 or a hoodie for $135. Side note, some people have more money than is good for them. It's rare to see a collaborative project by dozens of artists without any single creator being the star of the show. Takes me back to the time when art could be seen as a sort of revolution. Luna Luna was created at a time when art really needed a dose of the carnival, which has the power to subvert entrenched political, social, and religious nonsense, at least for a little while. A time that may now have come again for a repeat.
And now, on with the show.
Here's a note on an interesting act from the BBC show QI.
How did this woman pick up men?
Ooh. Is it going to be with their teeth or something?
This is one of the great acts of all time.
It's a strong woman of some kind.
It's the very first female bodybuilder.
The first female bodybuilder. And doesn't she look, if I may say so, she was a fine figure of a woman.
She's called Katie Brumbach, a.k.a. the Great Sandrina. And if we pull out on this picture, we can see that there's rather more to her than we had first anticipated. And what I like is her act involved picking up her 5'6" husband and twirling him over her head. I think it's a fine way to make a living. She started the Barnum Bailey Circus, and in her spare time, she became the vice president of the circus's suffrage movement.
Oh, wow.
And her husband, Max, would tell a story, I suspect it's a tall tale, that he met her when he took on the challenge of wrestling her with the hopes of winning 100 marks. And when she threw him to the ground, they immediately realized that they loved each other. And that there was a good double act in it, I think.
Across the street from where I live, there lives a girl, and her name is Rebecca. She's 23. She saw an Oriental show and then decided she would go to Mecca. Across the sea, she sailed away one day to Turkey far away. And she lived near the Sultan's den. She stayed about 2 years, got full of new ideas, and now she's back home again. Since Rebecca came back from Mecca, all day long she keeps on smoking Turkish tobacco. With a veil upon her face, she goes dancing round the place. And yesterday her father found her with a Turkish towel around her. Oi, oi, everyone worries so. They think she's crazy in the dome. She's as cold as Peter Bera, Peter's bear, but Becky's bearer since Rebecca came back home. There the nights are hot, Rebecca got an awful lot of learning. She certainly did. She goes to sleep and shadows creep and has to keep a bowl of incense burning. Some classy kid. Her mother feels so sad. Her brother Mo is mad and he keeps on complaining so. To satisfy her vim, she keeps on calling him Mohammed. Ain't that the most? Since Rebecca came back from Mecca, all day long she keeps on smoking Turkish tobacco. She lays on a Turkish rug, everyone says she's a bug. And since she came back from the harem, she's got clothes, but she don't wear them. Oi, oi, everyone voted so. She made the Sultan lose his throne. Once her little sister Sonia wore her clothes and got pneumonia since Rebecca came back home.
And now a word about one of our most popular products.
Here's one you'll use. From 1948, the full set of directions for making a blade box. The classic blow-off that earns dollars by the hatful. The blade box lines them up with dollars in their hand and sends them home happy. Why would anybody pay an extra dollar to see a magic trick? It works like this.
Now, Sheila is going to step behind the curtain for a moment and remove her costume. We're not doing this to be lewd or crude. She must remove her clothes to be able to perform this act. Here, honey, just hand out that costume. I'll fold it up nice for you. And now, she will recline in the cabinet, and I'm going to close the lid. Notice that the lid has openings for 13 steel blades. I'm not going to cut this beautiful young lady, because as I insert each blade, she is bending, twisting and contorting her body in and around every one of these blades of steel, just like a snake, just like a rubber band. She can bend and stretch as these blades threaten to sever the most delicate parts of her body. And now, I'm going to give you a chance to come up on stage and see for yourself. Sheila has agreed to expose herself to your gaze, so you can come up here to see how she does it. You're going to see how her amazing body can twist around these razor-sharp blades. You're going to see the glint of the cold steel against the texture of her skin. Sheila feels that exposing her secret and her body this way is worth $1, because she's paid only through your curiosity and your generosity. Just hand your dollar to the man at the foot of the steps and come up and see this beautiful little girl in the state she is in now, unashamed and waiting for you to view her.
Digitized and carefully restored in PDF format for just $4 for a real piece of carnival history or a great working blow-off that still plays today. Use the link on the podcast page.
And that should tell you that I'm putting back commercials, maybe two short ones per episode, for digital products only, products that can be sent to you by email, and I'm keeping the old price. For any of you still desperate for any of my three physical products, the content from my DVD, The Carnival's Been and Gone, is now on YouTube for free. And there are still a few copies of my CD, Bally Sounds of the Sideshow, and my CD-ROM on the Midway. They can be sent by special arrangement to the U.S. only. Contact me by email at waynekaiser290@gmail.com. A recommendation, the YouTube channel Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. This channel and its associated charity uses the talents, resources, and generosity of the American theater community. And over the years, it's raised more than $300 million for essential services for people living with HIV/AIDS. They draw on Broadway professionals to present live concerts using numbers from great musicals, often gender-flipped, to illustrate one strong message, the need for simple understanding and concern for our fellow humans.
Somebody hold me too close. Somebody hurt me too deep. Somebody sit in my chair and ruin my sleep and make me aware of being alive. Being alive. Somebody too
much.
Somebody know me too well. Somebody pull me up short and put me through hell and give me support for being alive. Make me alive. Make me alive. Make me confused.
Bisexual and Transgender Community Center provides a haven to hundreds of thousands each year for connection, support, health, wellness, community.
Because of Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, and you, millions across the country,
an artist,
a single mom,
an isolated HIV-positive man,
someone right around the corner struggling with long COVID,
will receive life-saving medications,
a doctor's visit,
a healthy meal,
hope.
But alone is
alone. Somebody from me with love. Oh, somebody forced me to.
The charity's address is on the episode webpage. Well, here we are again. If I still drank, I'd need a drink.
Bye.
Somebody needs to talk of prohibition and what they'll drink when everything is dry. How are you going to get around this new condition and keep a happy twinkle in your eye? It's very easy now to get a drink, but tell me, did you ever stop and think? How are you going to wet your whistle when the whole darn world goes dry? What are you going to do in the morning when you need a nip to open up your eyes? Now what of the wedding and the christening and the wake when your dear friends die? Oh, how are you going to wet your whistle when the whole darn world goes dry? Will any man be late for dinner? Never will they miss the 5:15. All the fleshy boys will fade and grow much thinner, and everyone will be a candy fiend. If they pack the soda fountains to the doors and turn the bars all into dry goods stores, how are you going to wet your whistle when the whole darn world goes dry? What are you going to do in the morning when you need a nip to open up your eyes? The poor bartenders will be worrying about a ribbon counter job in July. Oh, how are you going to wet your whistle when the whole darn world goes dry? Talk about your Bebo, Coca-Cola too. When you're good and thirsty, neither one of them will do. Go and see a circus, lemonade you buy, but you can see more animals if you drink a little rye. Sign upon the table, good song ringing clear, there will be no sign or song when prohibition's here. Always eat an apple when you get a thirst. I've got an orchard ready for January 1st. We took this country from the Indians. They can have it back again in July. Oh, how are you going to wet your whistle when the whole darn world goes dry?
Complaints, nothing but complaints. Even as far back as this from 1908.
The Stranded Minstrel Man by Murray K. Hill, Edison Records.
Well, here I am, ladies and gentlemen, busted. I'm going to sing you a little song and then get down amongst you and pass the hat and see if you'll donate enough to take me to the next town. I've been walking home, kind friends, but very, very slow. Oh, 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 from a minstrel show. I haven't eaten anything for about a week or so. Oh, oh, with the show. Our manager's name was Bacon. All we got was talk. For Bacon was a ham that put the whole show on the port. Last night they laid for us with guns. Says I guess I'll walk. Oh, from the show. I escaped the, you know. From the minstrel show. Was a hit away in a bale of hay through the kindness of a driver. Now the troops in jail, they're gonna leave by rail, for the town will ride them out on rails. So I'm the one survivor. This show started out from a little town in the B&O Railroad. We played all the small towns along the B&O Railroad. I guess we must have traveled over the B&O Railroad about 150 times. We traveled over the B&O Railroad so much the B&O Railroad kicked and said we'd have to quit. We're wearing out the ties. The manager had one bad habit, never wanted to pay salaries. Salary day came every now and then. Principally then, seldom now, and always never, till here I am busted. But I'll never forget the town this show started out from. They had a state fair going on in the town. I looked all over the town trying to find a place for the troops to stable, but everything was full in the town, including myself and about two-thirds of the population. At last a friend told me, though. He says there's a hotel inside the fairgrounds called the Inside Inn. Called the Inside Inn because the Inside Inn's inside of the fairgrounds. I walked inside the fairgrounds, inside the Inside Inn, up to the desk of the Inside Inn, says to the clerk of the Inside Inn, is the proprietor of the Inside Inn in? Says, no, the proprietor of the Inside Inn is not inside of the Inside Inn. Says, why is the proprietor of the Inside Inn, not inside of the Inside Inn? Says, well, I'll tell you. He's been riding around in the merry-go-round, made him sick. He's outside by the inside because he can't keep his inside in, letting his inside out outside of the Inside Inn. I'm going to try and sing you another little thing now. A little thing entitled, When Kate and I Were Coming Through the Pies. Excuse me, through the rise. It was Christmas, I was summering at Mount Shasta, that beauty spot in sunny Tennessee, when I fell in love with sweetheart Katie Plaster, and like a plaster, Kate got stuck on me. A distiller was her father of rye whiskey, and to his booze I didn't just do a thing. So I thought to stand in solid, I would wed her. So I bought a bell and gave Katie a ring. Ding, ling, ling, ling. Yes, Kate and I were married by and by. But Kate found out that I was always dry. So we moved into the distillery and used it for a flat. I missed my room one night and fell into a whiskey vat. That was the night that I got soaked. Then Katie, she did cry. He's dying in good spirit, and he's coming through the rise.
Of course, you could even take your problem right to President Theodore Roosevelt himself.
And actually hear him say it in your own home.
The great fundamental issue now before our people can be taken to. It is, are the American people fit to govern themselves, to rule themselves, to control themselves? I believe they are. My opponents do not. I believe in the right of the people to rule. I believe that the majority of the plain people of the United States will day in and day out make fewer mistakes in governing themselves than any smaller class or body of men, no matter what their training, will make in trying to govern them. Our opponents show their real beliefs by the way in which they champion every device to make the nominal rule of the people a sham. I am not leading this fight as a matter of aesthetic pleasure. I am leading because somebody must lead, or else the fight would not be made at all. I prefer to work with rational conservatives, provided only that they do in good faith strive forward toward the light. It would be well if our people would study the history of a sister republic. All the woes of France for a century and a quarter have been due to the folly of her people in splitting into the two camps of unreasonable conservatism and unreasonable radicalism. There is no danger of a revolution in this country, but there is grave discontent and unrest, and in order to remove them, there is need of all the wisdom and probity and deep-seated faith in and purpose to uplift humanity we have at our command. In order to succeed, we need leaders of inspired idealism, leaders to whom are granted great visions, who dream greatly and strive to make their dreams come true, who can kindle the people with the fire from their own burning souls. The leader for the time being, whoever he may be, is but an instrument to be used until broken and then to be cast aside. And if he is worth his salt, he will care no more when he is broken than a soldier cares when he is sent where his life is forfeit, in order that the victory may be won. In the long fight for righteousness, the watchword for all of us is spend and be spent.
When a coon sits in the presidential chair, as sung by Mr. Dan W. Coon. Since the coon crazy came in town, there is nothing that has been found that would create a big sensation. But if I collect Jim, just if I see the president, he wouldn't do a thing to this great nation. Coonskin would wear good clothes, on their face and straighten their nose. You could only tell a coon man by his hair. Then he'd give to each coon and every one of his skin, a raise a chicken and a thwart a nigger a skin. When a coon to sing the presidential cheer. Oh my, what fun in Washington.
Now on either reception day, everything will have full sway. You must look like a fool to be a member. The reception furthermore will not take place on the White House floor, for they will all assemble in the cellar. Politics won't be a breeze, but you'll be trapped in policies. They'll have to raise the White House and fall back. Between the races, the gym, and the new affair, there's a cakewalk, the windows, and even in the air. When I turn to sing, the band is in the chair. Oh, my, what fun in Washington.
That was 1899. It would be another 110 years till President Obama came along. I need some fresh air.
Rosie McCoola come around one day. Rosie McCoola come around the ante. Last night I went to a cabaret away up on Broadway. I see a lady do the hula mambo. I'm gonna show that little dancer to you. Right on the street I'm gonna shake her the feet like they do in Honolulu. Rosie McCoola do the hula mabula. She dance all around her like a one big fooler. She go this away, that away, this away. She look just like a big bundle of hay. She make it a slider, she make it a glider. She make it run the greater, bigger fall. She bust the side to walk her right into. She make the hickey, wicky, wacky and move. Rosie McCoola do the hula mabula like they do way down in Honolulu. Cooler, make a mournful sound. Tell the Jody Ice Man to come around and lift 300 pounds. Next time I'm gonna do the hula mabula. I do it on the beach of Waikiki too. So then when I fall a soccer, that's all. Like you do in Honolulu. Rosie McCoola do the hula mabula. She dance all around her like a one big fool. She's going this way, that way, this way. She look just like a big bundle of hay. She make it a slider, she make it a glider. She make the one to drink a bigger fall. She cuts the side to walk a right into. She makes the hickey, wicky, wacky, and go. Rosie McCoola do the hula mabula like they do it down in Honolulu.
There was, of course, World War II.
We're gonna have to slap the dirty little Jap, and Uncle Sam's the guy who can do it. We'll skin that streak of yellow from the sneaky little fella, and he'll think a cyclone struck him when we're through it. We'll take that double crosser to the old woodshed. We'll start right on his bottom and we'll go to his head. when we get done with him, he'll wish that he was dead. We've got to slap a dirty little Jap. Uncle Sam's a man who's given a helping hand to many a foreign land, don't forget it. But when somebody goes to tromping on his toes, they'd better guard their nose or they'll regret it. We're gonna have to slap the dirty little Jap, and Uncle Sam's the guy who can do it. The Japs and all their hooey will be changed into chop suey, and the rising sun will set when we get through it. Their alibi for fighting is to save their face for ancestors waiting in celestial space. We'll kick their precious face down to the other place. We gotta slap the dirty little Jap. We're gonna have to slap the dirty little Jap, and Uncle Sam's the guy who can do it. I wouldn't fool you, mister, he can raise an awful blister, and somebody's pants will burn before we're through it. We'll reach across the ocean and grab that yellow Jap and turn him upside down right on democracy's lap. We'll blister his axis and do it with a snap. We've gotta slap a dirty little Jap. Uncle Sam is mild, as peaceful as a child, but never get him riled or you will rue it. So now they want to fight. Well, they bit off quite a bite, and Uncle Sam is going to make them chew it. We're going to have to slap the dirty little Jap, and Uncle Sam's the guy who can do it. 'Cause it really is a feature when he starts to be a teacher. We can show you several pupils who've been through it. Uncle Sam believes in the golden rule, but when he's double-crossed, he's got a kick like a mule. We're warning Hitler's true, but Sam's a fighting fool. We gotta slap the dirty little Jap.
And there was this jerk.
Bubbles. Joe, Bubbles. Come here a minute. Bubbles. I got a red hot tip for you, Joe. Bubbles. See that guy with the red suspenders, Bubbles, driving that Bubbles car with the bright red Bubbles fenders. I know he's Bubbles one of those heavy spenders. Bubbles. Get that communist Bubbles Joe. He's filling my gal with propaganda, and I'm scared she will meander. Don't want to take a chance that he'll land her. Get that communist Joe. He's a most revolting character, and the fellas hate him so. But with the girls, this character is a comrade Romeo. Since my love, he's sabotaging, and the law he has been dodging. Give him what he deserves, jailhouse lodging. Get that communist Joe.
Get that small Joe.
He's a most revolting character, and the fellas hate him so. But with the girls, his character is a comrade Romeo. Since my love, he's sabotaging, and the law he has been dodging. Give him what he deserves, jailhouse lodging. Get that communist Joe.
Get that communist Joe. Get that communist Joe.
Also heard from in this multi-voiced din was the ultra-conservative John Birch Society, who were sure that even President Dwight D. Eisenhower was a dedicated, conscious agent of the communist conspiracy.
When I was young, it seemed to me the whole wide world would soon be free. But communism is on the rise, and Satan has a new disguise. Be careful of the commie lies. Swallow them and freedom dies. The USA must realize that she's the biggest prize. Why be surprised when they retreat? Their major weapon is deceit. When will we learn, alas, alack? It's three steps forward, two steps back. Be careful of the commie lies. Swallow them and freedom dies. The USA must realize that she's the biggest prize. To find them is an awesome task. They always wear a different mask. But knowledge rips the mask away, and free forevermore we'll stay. We'll expose the commie lies, and truth throughout the world will rise. With evil we'll not compromise. The truth shall keep us free. The truth shall keep us free.
That rates at least another oh dear. And, of course, Alabama Governor George Wallace, who became a presidential candidate.
Come all you freedom lovers and join our mighty band. We're out to beat the bureaucrats and drive them from our land. George Wallace is our leader and God is on his side. So climb aboard the wagon and join our victory ride. Climb aboard the wagon, the Wallace victory wagon. Get up on the wagon and we'll all take a ride. The court-appointed judges already have been told, when Wallace is elected, their jobs are gonna fold. A lot of folks in Washington are shaking in their skins, 'cause they know that they're moving out and Georgia's moving in. Climb aboard the wagon when it comes through your town. Help win the flag of freedom and put oppression down. And climb aboard the wagon, the Wallace victory wagon. Get up on the wagon and we'll all take a ride. And climb aboard the wagon, the Wallace victory wagon.
Now, if, quoting the lyrics, he's for freedom lovers, why was his loudly proclaimed principle,
and I say segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever?
That really calls for another drink, a big one.
Let me have a bit. All right, a soda, Diet Coke, please. It seems that as we pass through increasingly troubled times, things become more outrageous. You may not be old enough to remember the My Lai Massacre, a serious and undeniable war crime committed by United States soldiers in 1968, the mass murder of unarmed civilians during the Vietnam War. 504 civilians, young and old, men, women, children, infants, some of the women, including girls as young as 12, gang-raped, and many of them mutilated. 26 soldiers were charged, but only 2nd Lieutenant William Calley was convicted. Calley was found guilty of murdering 22 villagers and originally given a life sentence, but spent just 3 days in prison before Nixon commuted his sentence to 3.5 years of house arrest.
Many men have fought in wars, many men have died. Yes, many men have lost their lives, took it all in stride. But when I talk about this man, I get choked up beside. The man who fought to keep us free is now locked up inside. The man's locked inside. A man just 27, what more can he give? Locked away behind those prison walls of life. We'd all like to help you, son, and heaven knows we've tried. The man who fought to keep us free is now locked up inside. The man's locked inside. Mm-hmm. just a letter, just to let you see. And I guess you know by now there's millions more like me who feel the way I do and wish this knot could be untied. Because a man who thought to keep us free is locked inside. A man is locked inside. Why things have to be like this, I guess we just can't see. But let's thank God that someone gave his life for you and me. Now let the bells of freedom ring out far and wide. The man who fought to keep us free, now locked up inside. The man is locked inside. And so, Mr. Kelly, I guess some things must be. And we'd all like to thank you, son, for helping keep us free. And may the day come when we'll all have freedom as our guide. And we'll not have to keep our fine young men locked up inside, our young men locked inside.
It's just getting dumber. No, I mean really, way dumber. And it's going to get dumber yet. Nixon was reported to have said, most people don't give a shit whether he killed them or not.
From all kind folks, you'll want to hear the ballad of William Kelly. A jury found him guilty, but they should have set him free.
Oh, it's just another verdict for Lieutenant William Kelly. And they've done a grave wrong to a brave man. Most of these soldiers are gone. Please give him clemency. We've no right to judge others. Only God can. Oh, listen to the ballad of Lieutenant William Kelly. Days passed into weeks. 4 months ordeal is a long time. On the witness stand, the court did not believe his testimony, but we the people know he never committed a war crime. Oh, William Kelly, have faith in our wonderful president, for the wheels of justice sometimes run slow. And your good friends everywhere say that you're innocent. You deserve a pardon with a lifetime army career to go. Oh, you've all heard the ballad of Lieutenant William Kelly. Yes, pray to my God, my words are true. Need I tell more? Because they'll turn him loose. Your enemy's living. Onward, gallant American soldier, marching as to war.
Come, all kind folks, you'll want to hear the ballad of William Kelly. A jury found him guilty, but they should have sent him free.
That was very hard to swallow at best, and increased the opposition of those of us liable to be drafted and dragged away to be killed for nothing. Screw you, Mr. Nixon.
Wouldn't some hot buttered popcorn hit the spot right now? Extra fluffy, extra big kernels of it pop to perfection, then drenched with the golden goodness of pure sweet creamery butter. Can't you just taste it? We heat the container extra high, but you better buy two more for the rest of the family. Piping hot, golden buttered popcorn right now.
At almost any fair, you can get a corn dog, a Frankfurter skewered, coated in a cornmeal batter, and deep fried. Professionals use gold medal products, Victor's Dipsy Dog Corn Dog Mix. But if you're just making them at home, these 5-pound bags currently cost $120 for 6 bags from webrestaurantstore.com. will probably not stay good for weeks in the home kitchen. You can make them at home with Jiffy brand corn muffin mix from your grocer or use these ingredients. 2 16-ounce packages of Frankfurters. Beef ones are probably best. 16 wooden skewers. Amazon sells long enough skewers for very little. For the batter, 1 cup of yellow cornmeal, 1 cup all-purpose flour, 1/4 cup of white sugar, 4 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, a pinch, maybe 1/8 of a teaspoon of black pepper, 1 cup of milk, and 1 egg. To fry the corn dogs, you'll need 1 quart of vegetable oil and a frying thermometer to heat the oil to the right temperature. You can get a good one for about $12. Combine all the dry ingredients in a medium bowl, then stir in the milk and egg. Add more milk if needed to achieve a thick but smooth batter. Heat the oil in a deep fryer or a large saucepan to 350 to 375 degrees Fahrenheit, no hotter. Carefully pat the Franks dry with a paper towel and insert a skewer into each one along its length with enough sticking out one end for you to lower the thing into the hot oil safely. Dip the Franks into the batter until they are well coated. Fry 2 or 3 at a time until lightly browned, about 3 minutes. Drain them on paper towels. You can cut the hot dogs in thirds and make mini corn dogs the same way. This also works with Snickers bars, or you can finish up using veggies like asparagus or green beans, or even thick onion rings. And fry these for 1 to 2 minutes until the batter is used up.
Yes, sir, the hot dogs at our concession stand do rate an appreciative whistle.
Hot dogs? Yes, sir.
I'll slide into an oven-fresh bun, and I'm ready for your eating fun.
Why don't you try a juicy, good hot dog? Mmm, delicious.
In our online shop, a growing collection of complete plans for timeless carnival attractions and acts. Here's one working performers can use today. From the 1940s, a complete pseudo-hypnotic act. The full set of secrets for performing a sideshow-style hypno act with 4 detailed routines. Crowd pleasers like the rigid arm, standing 3 men on the subject's chest, stopping the pulse, and breaking a stone on the chest. You can select your favorite individual effects or perform the entire set as a complete act. The manuscript is a detailed guide to presentation. There's no actual hypnosis involved, not even the careful scripting and attention control that modern stage hypnotists depend on. Digitized and carefully restored in PDF format for just $4. For a real piece of carnival history or a working act that still plays well today, use the link on the podcast page.
Next episode, maybe Punch and Judy. Probably. If you're good, subscribe and find out. I dare you.
Subscribe to Valleycast and join the human oddities and a few just plain folks privileged to see behind the curtain of the sideshow, freak show, and variety arts of all kinds. You'll hear stories of famous performers, past and present, interviews with brave and skilled artists, and ideas you can use for your own acts. You'll find links on the webpage at valleycast.com, and all previous episodes are available as well. We want you.
Valleycast is produced by Wayne Kaiser for Blue Ridge Entertainment under a Creative Commons 3.0 Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. That means you can keep it, copy it, share it with a friend, just tell them where it came from, don't change it, and don't sell it. If you enjoyed it, you can subscribe at valleycast.com. Visit us, link to us, subscribe to the podcast, and most importantly, enjoy.
Thanks for riding. Please exit to your left.
Do we need a moment to calm down?
Said I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me. When a moment came that stumped me on a dime, I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays and talking about the options and talking about sweet time. I asked him what it's taking now. He smiled and he's a real and how's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Yeah, what you do? And he said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a born making old man true. And I love deeper and I spoke sweeter and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you would die. To live like you were dying. He said, I was finally the husband. Most of the time I wasn't. I became a friend we loved to have.
And all of a sudden, going fishing wasn't such an imposition. And I went 3 times that year, I lost my dad.
Well, I finally read the good book, and I took him too long. Oh, look at what I'd do if I could do it all again. And then I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a full name Fu Manchu. And I loved deeper and I spoke sweeter. Someday I hope you get the chance.
You would die.